VentureCast.
And she was like, I don't understand why you wouldn't like the monkeys. And I was like, they're fake. Everything about them is fake and they suck. The songs suck. I was like, I don't even, like, Jeff knows, like, I'll take it from the Beatles, but I'm not going to take it from the faux Beatles written by, you know, Tin Pan Alley and then sold from these clowns. And then to haul them back out of the freaking crypt in 2016 to trot them out and then choose them as your song in 2016. How dare you, good sir?
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
It is 2016.
Hold on. Time out. Are you really think you're going to start a podcast with that?
Fellas!
It is the signature, the signature beginning.
I said gentlemen.
Fellas. We are not gentlemen. We are fellas.
How are you? Welcome to 2016. Dear God, I'm blowing it right away. How are things, Ben Barton, in Knoxville, Tennessee?
Yesterday, 75 degrees and sunny for India Kincannon, my beloved wife's 50th birthday. 50
Welcome
years here
club.
On God's green earth.
India, yes.
Today I'm sad to report 48 in a driving rain. It's a tough follow-up.
Tough transition, right?
Yeah, wow. Totally. But we ate out al fresco in COVID times last night, so I was really glad that the weather today was not the weather yesterday.
Okay, I really need to look up al fresco because every time you say it,
it's when you paint on the wall when it's still wet.
Yeah. Well, I know
that's
that.
That's it, I think. I think that's what they're doing. They're eating a cheeseburger and then they're painting India on her 50th birthday in
Jeff
plaster.
Jeff Simons, how are you doing in Berkeley, California?
It's a beautiful California day in Berkeley, California. It's gorgeous today. One of those all-timers. And I am nervous tonight because I'm playing live on the interwebs tomorrow. It's my first live performance myself in a really, really long time. So
our first,
as soon as we're done recording, I'm going out back and frantically playing the same song over and over and over again, trying not to embarrass myself. So
this is our first advertisement as well.
It is.
This
it will
is
have
great.
Already happened, of course. This is my genius promotion. Hey, 6 days ago, I did a thing.
So. That's right.
But it is. It will be archived. But I'll let you know next week if I was horrible.
That's really exciting. 2 p.m.
2 p.m. Pacific.
Okay.
Tomes and Tunes. It's right up your alley, Tim. Books and music.
I hope to be in Atlanta by that time so I can participate.
I had no imagination that either of you would want to actually sit and watch it. Good Lord, we spend enough time together. It's fine. Don't worry. No pressure.
So I need to give an update here in 2016 because Jeff Simons, you tweeted out last week that it was our 50th episode, which of course is remarkable because we're 50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys and we haven't made it to 2020 yet. But
I don't know.
You're right. We have had a few extras here and there. And I thought it'd be neat to take stock of where we are here on the Music City Drive-In Podcast Network. We have reached 17,605 listens. Our goal that we set is 25,000. So we've got some work to do in these last, let's say, five or six episodes here. But I'd love for the two of you to think about our top 10 plays, where we're getting played, where we're getting listens. 80% of us, of our listens are, of course, the United States. Canada is second. UK is third. Give me a country that will finish out our top 10. Of where we're getting listened to, who are the folks listening to us?
So I follow Tim on Twitter, so I'm cheating.
Okay.
Estonia.
So you're cheating badly because we're the number one music history podcast in Armenia.
Oh, Armenia. Sorry.
Armenia. But no, they do not crack the top 10 here.
How about Australia?
Australia is right there at number 7. Good.
Okay.
Anyone else?
New Zealand?
No, even though, Jeff, wasn't your radio show in New Zealand?
I love you pointing out how shitty I am at both self-promotion and podcast promotion. You're right, Tim. I did a online.
You
not
think
only
we
that,
get
but
a
I'm
bump.
On the radio in New Zealand on 2 stations and still not moving the needle.
Are they playing your album? They are.
How do I know? They tell me that I am, but I don't exactly get New Zealand on the old FM. So,
well, have you seen that Google thing where you can actually scroll around and get radio stations? I'll tell you about it after the broadcast. what kills me here is that Germany comes in 4th.
Nice.
It's 406 listens in Germany.
I love it.
Who's listening to us in Germany or in India, Mexico, Spain, Saudi Arabia, and rounding out the top 10, the UAE?
Oh, I love that. That's great.
Isn't that fun?
Very cool. I have one friend who lives in Germany. Maybe she's just banging it.
I have a friend in the UAE, so that must be it. But also keep in mind, like, some of these folks, you know, want to practice their English and would like to hear morons talk, and that we fit both of those.
It's like a Stripes episode over and over and over
again. That's right. That's right. The do run. Well, we'd love to know here, who are you? To be listening to us, why, you know, we're just kind of morbidly curious as to what you're doing.
Not that we're trying to convince you not to. We don't examine it too much. If you start thinking, why do I listen to these guys? Then stop.
Yeah, that'll be a bad moment.
Download the next thing.
But we'd love to hear from you on our Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you on Twitter. I'd love to have a friend all the way across the world. I think that would be neat. And
I'm also going to try to sell you guys on the idea of doing the 2020 episode live. I think we should do it live and invite a webinar audience to join us. Let our faithful come and see it happen. See the sausage get made.
Exciting. I like this idea.
I really didn't like how you said see the sausage.
Or maybe 2021. We can do 2021 too live. But we can do both. Yeah. I like live. That's good.
So people would tune in to YouTube to watch us do this live.
Yeah, then it'd be recorded and they could listen to it later, assuming they're in the UAE and it's late night. But
or
I mean, everyone else should watch it live.
Yeah, or we could do a webinar where they come in, they join us in the Zoom room, and then they just watch us. They can chat with each other while we do the show.
I just worry they wouldn't have the benefit of our polishing and editing that happens.
No, they wouldn't. That's right. That's why it would be fun.
Funny stuff.
They're accustomed to such a high tech standard.
I know. I worry about them. All right. Let's get, well, at any rate, thank you all for listening. This is an absolute joy for us, and we're glad that we bring a little joy to you. In 2016, Jeff Simons, the Grammy winner is. I thought you saw that.
More of an update than that, man.
I mean, it was a long windup, and you still had your hands.
The Grammy winner is. Oh, I don't remember which one is the Grammy winner. Is it the better
one,
of the two?
The one that you don't hate is the Grammy winner.
Oh, good.
It's the Grammy winner.
Hello by Adele.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello.
So I really like this one. It makes me laugh every time.
Yep.
It's she's really tipped over into self-parody on this one. Like, it's so Adele, it's beyond Adele into extra Adele with some Adele flavoring on top of it. Like,
I do. It's like Medel, Medadel.
You know, I know, like, for sure. And this is, but this is a good sign. This is how much I like her. I was like, and that's great. That was fine. Like, I mean, it cracked me up. The first time I heard it, it cracked me up. And I was thrilled to hear it on the radio. Every time I heard it, I was, you know, it sounded like nothing else on the radio. It sounded exactly like Adele, but it was like as if Adele went to the Breaking Bad chemistry lab and they just boiled it down to yeah, the darkest Adele. And then they put it into a vial and gave it to you.
What was the name of the meth? Blue something? I can't remember. Yeah, but that it's like Blue Adele. I can't get over that hello and the similarity to the Lionel Richie hello.
Yeah, me too.
Same thing.
I just can't. I mean, in fact, I cannot believe somebody hasn't put them on top of each other in a mix and a mashup. But the other thing I love about this song is, you know, this is the record where she's 25, right? It's called 25.
Yeah.
It's such a 25-year-old's understanding of what you should do after a breakup. Like, let's get together and go over everything that went wrong. And I got to tell you, from 50, what a terrible idea. Do not get back together and go over everything. What you want to do is separate without weaponry or permanent injury and then never revisit that shit ever again. That's the part that makes me laugh, is it's such a bad idea. Like, If Adele said to me, like, could you just come over and go over everything? I'm like, that chorus is coming. I'm going to be sitting right there on the couch for it. And I want no part of it.
Yeah. What happened to us? You once said you love me. Why don't you love me anymore?
And then you have just that. Do you remember, Tim, were you in the coffee shop in Oxford with me when that woman was crushing that guy for giving her a venereal disease? In the loudest possible voice. The reason I bring it up is she sounded just like Adele. She had Adele's speaking voice, and she had asked this guy to meet her for coffee to go over everything. And the everything was, you gave me a venereal disease, and I'm going to let the entire city know about it in the most uncomfortable public conversation ever had by two people. It was incredible. And everybody in the coffee shop made eye contact with each other. Like, I can't watch, and yet I cannot turn away.
I cannot leave.
We all just stood there quietly sipping our coffee, like just watching the whole train wreck happen in slow motion.
Breakups. Great advice there, Jeff. I'm sure that a lot of the teens listening will take that to heart. All right. In 2016, Pranav Dhanahawad achieved the highest ever recorded individual cricket score, 1,009 not out. That is the highest ever recorded individual cricket score, which made me realize...
You're injured by a drunk.
Which made me realize we haven't once talked about cricket on this podcast. So welcome to our new segment called Who Knows What? And we're going to go back and forth, and you're going to tell me one thing you know about cricket until one of you has nothing left to tell us about cricket. Going first, farthest away is Jeff Simons. Tell us something about cricket.
There is only one collegiate varsity cricket program in the United States, and it is at Haverford College.
That counts. And I'm not even going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a story. So in 2011, I went and taught in Cambridge for the summer. And it was super fun. And India and the girls came with me, and we had an amazing summer. And I taught at Downing College, which is like one of the really lovely old ones. And I had some colleagues and hung out with them. I had some students hung out with them, but I spent a lot of time by myself, as you can imagine. So I would get lunch at like the Doner Kebab. And then I would go sit in a park, and across from me was there's people playing cricket. And so I actually sat and ate my lunch, and I must have watched cricket live for, I don't know, 25, 30 hours. Like, I watched a lot of cricket. And this is why I can confidently say I don't know anything. Like, I mean, I couldn't describe at all what was going on. Like, basically, I understand that it's not a timed game. It's like baseball. Like, it's not set against a clock. It's set against a series of events. Uh-huh. What those events might be and what those people were doing, I have no idea. It did seem fun. Like, they were clearly enjoying themselves. And there was a ball. I like that. And then there was a flat bat. And I also like that. And
there was a wicket.
I was like, that's weirdly compelling. Like, ball, bat, wicket. And then there was a dude on a mound, and then there were fielders everywhere. And then there were people, like, it was similar to baseball where nothing happened for a long time.
You just ate your sandwich.
And then a dude like spastically hit the ball and ran somewhere and things were happening. And I was like, what's going on? Interesting.
All right. I'm closing out our cricket discussion.
And by the way, you're gonna score me as winner, right? I won that one. I think it's fair to say I won it.
Do know what some things are called, but I acquiesce to Ben's spectacular victory. But that is where the phrase sticky wicket comes from, right?
Hits
the wicket and doesn't break it, even though it should, right?
It's a sticky wicket. Now, weren't you the sports editor of the Haverford paper as well?
I had to do an article on the cricket team. And in fact,
I cannot believe
the guy I replaced as sports editor was on the cricket team, and he was disappointed at how precipitously cricket coverage dropped from his tenure to mine. I actually heard about it from him a couple of times.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, that new game stunk. So let's go with the different new game. Since when? That's right. The new game is called Since When. The Catholic Church and Russian Orthodox Church put out an ecumenical declaration. The first ecumenical declaration since their schism in,
I'm going to say
432.
Price is Right rules 433.
Jeff is right. The 1054 schism.
1054. Wow. Yeah, they hung out together for a long time.
They really did. All right. Obama visits Cuba. He's the first U.S. president to visit Cuba since when? Jeff, you have to guess first this time.
Who's the last president before that to visit Cuba? I'm going to say that I'm going to say that Truman went to Cuba.
Okay.
I said Eisenhower afterwards.
Oh, dear Lord. Jeff gets it because it's Teddy Roosevelt? Coolidge in 1928. Oh, Coolidge, okay. All right.
Why are you, for those of you listening at home, Tim gave us the you dumb idiot's face. Why of all the stupid things I've said in the podcast, did that actually elicit a reaction?
When was the revolution in Cuba?
I assumed it was sometime after Harry Truman. Okay. That was my whole thing.
First of all, I have a lot of knowledge about that from Godfather 2, and it's sometime in the 50s.
That's right. Because that's when all the exporting stops. That's why all the cars in Havana look like they're from the 50s.
That's right.
They just have to keep fixing them up. Yeah.
That's correct. Okay. Okay. So you guys are really thoughtful. The Cubs win the World Series, Ben Barton. It's their first World Series win since when?
1908. Oh, I had an eight in there, but I got it
Jeff
wrong.
Simon's about to sweep this entire game. The Summer Olympics are held in Rio in 2016. The first time in a South American country since when?
The 1916 Guadalupe Games.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm trying to think
of Our Lady of Guadalupe set a speed record.
Did Buenos Aires host it?
I've gone to Irish for this segment.
I like it. You should get points for the accent. Since when did Ben master his Irish accent? I don't know.
I'm looking for me lucky charms to answer this question.
First time since Mexico City in 1968. Because high altitude, Bob Beeman, Black Power. That's the last time.
Mexico is not in South America. That's an unfortunate guess.
It's south of America.
Oh, dear. I'm just kidding.
Look at the Irish. I won that one. Thank you, Jeff, for that unbelievably stupid guess.
I am just kidding, dear listeners.
Good job. The Summer Olympics have never been held in South
America. Oh,
it was a trick question.
Let's just go ahead and get to Jeff's favorite song from 2016. The number one hit, Jeff Simons.
It's the number one hit.
Closer by the Chainsmokers with Halsey.
Oh, you hate this one? I don't mind this one.
doing just fine before I met you. I drink too much and that's an issue, but I'm okay. Hey, you tell your friends it was nice to meet them, but I hope I never see them again. I know it breaks your heart. Moved to the city and I broke down crying. 4 years, no calls. Now you're looking pretty in a hotel bar. And I can't stop. No, I can't stop. So baby, pull me closer in the backseat of your Rover that I know you can't afford. Bite that tattoo on your shoulder. Pull the sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your roommate back in Boulder. We ain't ever getting older.
All right, Ben, tell me why it's an acceptable song in 2016 and you don't mind it.
I find that one just utterly harmless. There are better number one, like I'm pretty sure Work by Rihanna was a big hit this year, and One Dance by Drake was a big hit this year. Both of those are more likable.
This was like 10 weeks at number one.
Yeah, this was a huge, gigantic, massive
hit.
I don't mind this one. I just don't mind it.
Jeff Simons?
My particular issue with this song is it's the only thing any of the keyboard players in my Branson Rock Band knew how to play. So every time I came in the room for a fucking year, it was bum, bum, bum.
Okay.
That's problem number one. I just got overexposed and
annoyed.
I mean, it has 2 billion listens and crawling on YouTube. It's just like, it's a bit much. The second thing is, these are two intensely unlikable people to me in this song. Like, don't buy a Rover if you can't afford it. That's a status symbol car that will break down and live in the shop. And if you're the kind of person that buys a Range Rover, you can't afford it.
What do you do?
I'm not probably not, and that they come from Boulder. How fucking perfect that these two, like, emotionally unavailable twerps buying cars
just
they can't
lost
afford
our Colorado audience.
are from the little ski town, and then they're out in LA being beautiful and trying to make it. And I just, everything about the introduction of these two characters, I'm just like, I hope you both fall into the ocean. I just like, I don't care about them at all from the jump. And so I'm irritated, overexposed, and I want no part of it.
So it's really interesting because Jenny and the S-Dog is told from a third person point of view.
Yeah.
And then the dog's
there's so much more. There's so much more likable. He's working class and confused and has a dog.
No, like, he's the son of a Coca-Cola executive.
He's got a, no.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola middleman. He's not like,
oh, you're right.
Money.
He is a middleman. Yeah. Yeah.
No, these two people are like, we ain't never getting older. Like just that right there. Like we are rich and young and beautiful and have free time. It just hit me. It just hits me in all the wrong kind of.
You can't
ways.
Come on to a 50-year-old man's podcast and say we ain't ever getting older. No, yeah, screw you.
Also, Jeff, I just want to call you out here.
Oh my god!
Listening to the lyrics of this dumb song, like, what's wrong with you? You put more thought into the meaning of this song than anybody, including the people who wrote it and sung it. Like, it's just supposed to sound fresh and hot and good. That's all. Move on. You're not
it
supposed
is all
to
those things. I am stale, cold, and unattractive. So the song's not for me.
And that's why I dug in deep.
But I mean, literally,
trying to find something.
Every word you said that was in the song, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Boulder, right? I remember. Shoulder. Boulder rides a shoulder.
Don't
right?
even. You of all people know how important the little details are. Remember you told that story about the song you love where it's like, don't touch nothing. Like,
no, for sure. But this
details,
is a dumb, bad song.
Make everything. They make
for sure.
Wait, yeah, what? Don't sure. touch nothing. What was that?
That was the
the rap song about the car.
Yeah.
Hop in the ride.
Oh,
don't
touch
nothing.
That's a great line.
I've been saying that to my kids ever since that episode. Like that's in my lexicon.
That's the
now.
Cameron song.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
the
great.
Cameron song.
All right. Well, also in 2016, awful. Gosh, just we got to do it. We got to get back to the bad stuff too to kind of put the year in perspective. It was the terrible Pulse nightclub attack. the Nice, France truck attack. And it was kind of one of those, the world is kind of shaking at our feet with both of those incidents, like trying to process that and wrap our heads around it. Pokemon Go is my next item, which I don't really have a transition for. Okay, let me, just in case we're going to cut that. 2016 also gave us Pokemon Go. That seemed fun. Did either of you try it?
I surely did, yeah.
Did you?
I did not try it, but I assumed that, I mean, I'm distrustful enough that when my son was like, it's great, you just go out in the world and everyone's playing it and you'll just meet all these new people playing Pokemon Go. It just seemed like, boy, did the pedophile people step up their game. Like my 11-year-old next son level. Is out there like, I'm just catching them while I can so they could catch him. Like he literally went out once. He was like, yeah, I was just hanging out in the parking lot with this guy for a while. I'm like, shut it down. But he loved it. He had a really good time.
Out and active and walking around, which was fascinating. Like people walking around, getting exercise. Ben, did you catch any of these Pokemon?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I assume I got an outstanding assortment. I don't know. I did it for a little while, and it was boring, but I mean, I was totally willing to give it a try. The girls did it a little bit too. I mean, I think maybe if I'd had a kid who was really into it, I'd have a different feeling about it, but it was fine.
You have students come into your class looking for things?
No, I mean, not while I was teaching. No. I mean, I teach at law school, but no, there were definitely law students who did it. I mean,
okay. I never did it. Don't know what it is.
That's shocking to me that you didn't play a game that involves technology and
also I don't know why it fell off. Like what happened? Why did people stop playing?
The better question is why it worked at all in the first place. I mean,
it's really
kind of corny. But you know, I mean, people like corny things.
People do like corny things. October 7th was a big, big day for close followers of Donald Trump or those who have read the Mueller report or followed the conviction of Roger Stone. Why was October 7th such a big day? What happened on the day? There are actually three events. See if you can name all three.
That's the leak of the Hillary emails.
It's the WikiLeaks. Thousands of emails, private emails are released via WikiLeaks.
Good. And I think it follows right.
That comes after the other two things.
It's either the same day or the same time as the tape of him saying, grab them by the...
It comes out after the Access Hollywood tape is put out by the Washington Post, where Donald Trump engages in awful talk.
And then before that, Roger Stone says that John Podesta is going to have his time in the barrel, but I don't think that's the same day.
That's not the same day, right.
That's the evidence that he knew ahead of time that the leak was coming.
It's fascinating to look back now. The big, big news story is that the U.S. intelligence agencies get together and put out a statement accusing Russia of meddling.
That comes out that same day?
That comes out that day, but the Washington Post story kind of like obscures it, and then all of a sudden Access Hollywood... the WikiLeaks email dump, everything kind of gets buried under all those emails. But luckily,
everything worked out though, right?
Everything worked out.
The good news is that we've ironed it all out and everyone agrees on what happened.
So exactly.
That was really good.
Exactly. That's just what I was going to say. And now history is clear and the pages aren't going to be disputed. That's lovely.
That's great. Our three songs. Great segue. Our three songs.
I went first last week, Jeff.
Yeah, I'll go first. I'm up. So this week I get to just talk about one of my favorite modern rock bands, and they put out a great record this year, and I'm going to play a song from it that I like. So rock music... has gone by this time, right? We are in the moment where rock music is more of a niche market, and rock music, so like what constitutes a rock band is changing. Like there's a lot of electronica in rock music, there's a lot of computers, there's a lot of attempts to cross over, and people call things rock that I'm not sure I would call it. And, you know, is it pop? Is it rock? Is it something else? This is just a band. I don't think there's any mistaking this band for just a wonderfully adventurous, kick-ass rock and roll band. They're from Austin, Texas, and their name is White Denim. They've been a band since 2009. I came to the table a little late. I missed the first two or three records, which are much weirder. They started as more of kind of an art rock band, like short songs, very weird. Things are sped up and slowed down. There's some studio trickery. And then they put out a record in, I think it's 2013, called Corsicana Lemonade. And it's just the first time I heard it, I was like, this is just a phenomenally excellent rock and roll record. And it's interesting the things they blend without being annoying. They have chops. They all can play really, really well. So there's lots of time changes. There's lots of fast fingers, but not in that kind of super showy prog way that can be annoying. They are a roots rock, Texas-based rock and roll band. So there's some country in there. There's some Tex-Mex. There's some really old, kind of old school chord progressions, but without feeling redundant, without feeling kind of tired, or certainly without feeling like pandering. And I think what I love about them is they take their music very seriously. They don't take themselves very seriously. A lot of the songs are kind of funny, but not funny in that kind of fish lyric. We are a band playing really, really fast, and the lyrics are about fantasy land. They just write little songs about little moments in life, or they like little turns of phrase. So they just hit a lot of reference points that I have a sweet spot for. And they are a great live act, which is for me just the kicker. When a band kicks ass live, I tend to lean into their shortcomings and turn them into strengths. I've seen this band 3 or 4 times, and they deliver every time. They are super personable. They are there. They're one of those bands where they show up and they get on stage, and after 30 seconds, you're like, they came to entertain me. Like they leave it all on the stage. They are drenched with sweat at the end of the set. So this is a song called Ha 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 (parentheses) Yeah, which I also was just funny the first time. I was like, I love the careful, you know, how many ha's, and let's make sure yeah's in parentheses. But anyway, the cover of this record gives you a sense of this band's sense of humor. It's somebody wearing the underwear they give you in the hospital after you've had surgery with a bunch of cactuses coming out of it, which I really hope is photoshopped for the sake of the model. But I love this band. This is White Denim, and I'm glad to have a chance to give them some love on the show. Here we go.
Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, by White Denim.
Those hand claps in the second verse.
Yeah, can we just keep playing? That was great.
Oh yeah, they're right up your alley, Tim. You're gonna be.
Oh my gosh! And how excited I am that Helen Plain gets to recite that title for. Oh yeah, it's gonna be
the robot lady's gonna love that title, no question.
Ha 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 ha! I'm so excited, Ben. You know that song.
I know that song. I love this band. This is a classic Jeff pick, and this is one that's worked out really nicely for me. This is how much I like them. So I go to Bonnaroo every year, in case you hadn't heard. And
you know, I hear that's quite a festival. They've got multiple stages and food. I got to check that out sometime.
Typically, I have the great good fortune to be backstage or at some level of backstage. And so when you're back there, sometimes people will approach you and be like, who are you? Why are you here? In a nice way. They're not like going to boot me because I've got a pass, but they're basically like, oh, that's weird. Like, you don't appear to be famous. Anyway, I've rotated through various answers to this question, all of which are lies. My favorite lie is I'm the bassist in White Denim. That's an actual thing that I tell people. And then they're like, oh, really? And like, it's totally believable because they're like, well, White Denim's great. And they're like, you know, you look a little old, but maybe, you know what I mean? Like, I can completely pass as the bassist in White Denim. And I saw them in Bonnaroo and I love them so much that I adopted them. And now that's one of my go-to answers.
I love it.
This song, I really like the verse part. That guitar part really reminds me of Cake.
Yeah, interesting.
It really reminds me of Seatbelts or Bucket Seats and Seatbelts, whatever that one's called.
Safety belts.
Or shirts, short skirt, long jacket. Like, it's a real stylized staccato guitar part. Super likable. And they shred. They're great. I love this one.
You know what's great too is they're anonymous. Like, they're really a band. Like, it's so funny you sound the bassist in White Denim. Like, nobody could name. I mean,
that's what I mean. I mean, seriously, they were like people would be like, "Well, I've seen White Denim." Like, literally, people would be like, "Oh, I've seen you guys," and I'd be like, "Sure,
sure,
me too. I've also seen us because I'm in the band."
Yeah, it's so great. They're really they really are unconcerned with being anything other than the collective, which I think is also refreshing in this moment. So,
well,
great stuff.
We've got a fall Bonnaroo. Should we go? Should we do a podcast from Bonnaroo in September?
This is to be determined. I will be there pretty much regardless of virus protocols. I'm going to be there. I just don't care at all.
Oh, I got my second shot.
Go on, Jimmy.
Yeah. It was a convulsive, shivering mess for 24 hours. Yeah.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
I thought I was turning into a werewolf. I was kind of excited on one level, like. But now, turns out it was me.
Would you turn into the American Werewolf in London or into Teen Wolf? I'm gonna guess.
American Werewolf in London. Yeah.
Oh, you think so? You'd be eating people and ripping up the London subway. I think you'd be teaching inner city kids how to play basketball. As the Teen Wolf.
Sorry, I was like just going team. With my preference there, my cultural reference. All right, good stuff. I'm going to go listen to that band after this podcast.
Oh, you'll be happy you did.
Ben Barton, what do you got?
I have a more controversial pick, my
Ooh.
Friends. And I just want to go ahead and remind you that I have
You have not chosen a lot of Kanye West songs.
I am an expert in the rules, and this is only my second Kanye West song.
You better lawyer up.
In 2016. Yeah, so this is where we come to the end. I bring you glad tidings. We will not have another Kanye West song after this one. The Life of Pablo record is a mixed bag, but it's the last great artistic statement by Kanye West. And it's a little bit of a sad story. I mean, the whole thing's a little bit of a sad story to me. When I went back and looked at it, I was really glad. I was going to choose his second record. Late registration for the first song, but I'm really glad I chose College Dropout. Like, we started at the beginning, and now here we find ourselves very close to the end. This is the end of when he's musically relevant, basically. Like, he stays a cultural phenomenon after 2016, but for really sad and embarrassing reasons. And the Pablo record, you know, we've gone through this before. Like, he can't put anything out. He physically releases the record and then he continues remixing songs for weeks afterwards. In a second, I'm going to ask Jeff to play a song and I'm going to say the time thing. And there's a really good chance that Jeff's version of the song is going to be different than my version of the song because he put out five or six versions of each of these songs. He, from the time that his mom died, he's having basically a rolling breakdown. Like, it's just every step of the way he's continuing to struggle through it. And he's having it in public. On the one hand, there's some beautiful, amazing art that comes out of it. But on the other hand, it just breaks my heart to watch what's going on with this guy. All of the recording for Pablo is a mess. He's been on, if you go back and look at you look at even just the Wikipedia, or you just read the list of the stuff that he's done. He has been a continuous royal of artistic activity since College Dropout with no break. He's been on tour, he's been recording, he's been designing clothes, he's been, you know, marrying people, he's been doing reality TV. He's just been on a complete go, 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 go stretch. And as 50-year-old white guys, I think you'll appreciate this. One of the things to me is it's a real object lesson in growing up. Like when you're a kid, when you first start out, you create a bunch of patterns for yourself, and that some of them are self-destructive, but you're like, well, surely this will never end. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm a spurt worker was the thing that I used to tell myself. I'm a spurt worker and I do things up against a deadline. And like, you'll hear young people be like, I love a deadline. And they just, and they're like, oh, I because that way I get to work 24 hours, I stay up overnight, whatever else. The description of the Kanye recording for Dark Twisted Fantasy is like, he had a 24-hour recording studio where he would not let the producers leave. They recorded 24 hours a day and he slept maybe 2 or 3 hours a day in cat naps. And before he was like, I'm falling asleep. I need you to do the following things. And then fell asleep and then woke up and was like, oh, did it get done? And then would start again. I mean,
oh my God,
he just ran himself sick. He immediately goes on tour for Pablo and it's an intense, totally crazy tour. And it breaks my heart. They played Nashville. And I had a really, big work thing. Like I couldn't go. And I was like, oh, they're playing Atlanta. They're playing Atlanta a month later. I bought tickets for the Pit. This is the setup for this tour. He's touring basketball arenas and he sells all the seats 360 degrees around it. He's on a floating glass stage that lifts up into the middle of the arena on top of the Pit. The Pit's below him. And then he's rapping to the Pit, which is a mosh pit, which he's calling out for them to mosh harder while he's going. I mean, I was like, there's no amount of money I wouldn't pay to do this. I can't wait to do it. I'm so thrilled. In between Nashville and Atlanta, he has a full-on breakdown. The song I'm going to pick, Ultralight Beam, they debut it on Saturday Night Live. He's so out of his mind, he almost refuses to go on live at Saturday Night Live. Like they have to pull Lauren out. They have to get Kim Kardashian there. They have to, and literally they're like, you're going to destroy your career. You'll never do anything again. You have to go out, right now, right now, right now. And he pushed himself out. But I mean, that's how bad his mental health was, where he was just like barely able to hold it together. He completely collapses on the tour. He goes into rehab. He has a full breakdown and he has a full break. That's it. Like he's never returns to this level of artistic excellence again. He falls into a full Christian phase where he does Sunday service. And we saw the Sunday service show live, here in Tennessee. And it was really, I'll just be frank. It was super interesting and really good. It's not peak Kanye and unclear when we'll get that again. Uh-huh. I was talking about it with, Dahlia in particular is like, this is my older daughter. It's just like a Kanye freak. She loves Kanye. And you know, I haven't given up hope. You know what I mean? Like y'all will know, like Bob Dylan went through a lot of weird stuff then eventually came out. And for some listeners and maybe for Jeff, they're like, how dare you compare Kanye West to Dylan? I would compare Kanye West to Dylan.
Like, I don't have any problem with that comparison.
I think he's like a brilliant, bizarre, path-breaking artist who did a whole bunch of strange stuff and pushed himself to the limit over and over and over again. I just hope he can find his way back. And by find his way back, I don't mean like become a Trump fan and marry a reality TV star and then get divorced. Like none of that stuff is helping him at all. Yeah. I just hope he can find peace in his mind. Cause you know, like we talked about this with Taylor Swift, but generally with these artists, you know, he's a really, really, really sensitive guy. Like he's a sensitive person. That's why he's an artist. He, like the stories from his mom are like
a lot. Yeah.
When he was in second grade, he'd lock himself in the bathroom and write poetry. And he was a great like little visual artist too when he was a tiny little kid. Like he's a super sensitive artistic type of person who's been thrown in with the wolves. And I mean, it's just been really challenging for him to find his place in this world. All right, so I'm going to ask for even more forbearance. Jeff, the first thing I would like you to do is just give us 10 or 15 seconds of I miss the old Kanye.
I miss the old Kanye, straight from the gold Kanye, chop up the soul Kanye, set on his goals Kanye. I hate the new Kanye, the bad mood Kanye, the always rude Kanye, spazzing the news Kanye. I miss the sweet Kanye, chop up the beats Kanye. I gotta say, at that time I'd like to meet Kanye. See,
That's awesome.
Isn't that amazing?
So it's my favorite track on the album.
Right, no, dude. And also, that's a top 10 Kanye song. He's freaking hilarious. All the way at the end, like mid-breakdown, he's freaking hilarious. His sense of humor and his self-awareness, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but also the weird artistry of it. That song, like, on the one hand, every time I hear it, it makes me laugh and it makes me smile. On the other hand, every time I hear it, it just breaks my heart for that guy. When he says, I hate the new Kanye, he's not speaking figuratively.
No doubt.
Literally. That dude wakes up in the morning and he can't stand being himself. Like, he just can't stand it anymore for one more second to have to do it, to drag his ass through the process of being Kanye. It's just brutal. Oh, and on a separate note, I told you Dolly's a big Kanye fan. Her, one of her party tricks when she's been drinking, she can do that entire 45 second acapella rap perfectly start to finish, every beat, every word.
Okay. We gotta see that at some point.
All right. He's a searcher, and he's a searcher musically, and he's a searcher spiritually, and he's a searcher in his life. And that's why this song, Ultralight Beam, is one of my all-time favorite Kanye songs. And weirdly, Timmy, your selection last year, really, like, there's three songs from around this era: 24 Frames, Ultralight Beam, and then Sufjan Stevens' Greatest Gift from 2017. There are these beautiful offbeat takes on a Christian God from people who are either not Christians or in the process of not being Christians, depending how you feel about Kanye and Sufjan. And Ultralight Beam just captures, like, how hard he's searching and his faith that he's going to be able to find his way. The song, and so I'm going to ask Jeff to start at the Chance the Rapper verse. That's my favorite part of it. Song starts with a 15-second Instagram clip of a 4-year-old African-American kid. I think it's with her grandma. And she's like, we don't want no devils in here. We don't want no devils in here. And then it goes into the Kanye verse, and then it's got the chorus. And then there's a beautiful, there's like, he's got two contemporary gospel stars on here, Kirk Franklin, and I can't remember the name of the woman, but there's a beautiful verse by the woman. Then there's the Chance the Rapper verse. Then there's the Kirk Franklin verse. The Kirk Franklin verse is just a couple of lines, and every single time it makes me cry. No matter how messed up you are, no matter how lost you are, no matter how many times you've said sorry, it's never too late to find your way home. And then it goes into the chorus again, and then the song ends. I mean, it's so beautiful. Jeff, 251 on my version is the start of the Chance the Rapper verse. And this is an infamous Chance the Rapper verse. This is considered his greatest work. And this is the highlight of late period Kanye, is this verse.
Ultralight Beam by Kanye West.
Oh. Foot on the devil's neck to the drifted Pangea. I'm moving all my family from Chatham to Zambia. Treat the demons just like Pam. I mean, I fuck with your friends, but damn, Gina, I've been this way since Arthur was anteater. Now they wanna hit me with the woo after bam. Trying to snap photos of family. My daughter look just like Sia, you can't see her. You can feel the lyrics, the spirit coming in braille. Tumming of the underground, come and follow the trail. I made Sunday candy, I'm never going to hell. I met Kanye West, I'm never going to fail. He said let's do a good ass job with Chance 3. I hear you gotta sell it to snatch the Grammy. Let's make it so free and the bar so hard that it ain't one gosh darn part you can't tweet. This is my part, nobody else speak. This is my part, nobody else speak. This little light of mine, glory be to God, yeah. I'ma make sure that they go where they can't go. If they don't wanna ride, I'ma still give them raincoats. Know what God said when he made the first rainbow? Just notice at the end, if I'm too late for the intro. I'm just having fun with it. You know that a nigga was lost. I laugh in my head cause I bet that my ex looking back like a pillar of salt. Cause they flipped the script on your ass like Wesley and Spike. You cannot mess with the light. Look at the channel from 79.
We on a ultralight beam, we on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream, this is a God dream. This is everything.
Hallelujah!
Everything.
I'm trying to keep my faith.
Yes,
but I'm looking for more. Somewhere I can feel safe. And in my holy war,
Father, this prayer's for everyone that feels they're not good enough. This prayer's for everybody that feels that they're too messed up. For everyone that feels they said I'm sorry too many times. You can never go too far when you can't come back home again. That's why I need...
So for me, I think that the religious turmoil piece, Kanye, if Kanye has an American literature doppelganger, for me, it might be Arthur Dimmesdale from The Scarlet Letter. I don't know how well you guys remember that book, but right. Dimmesdale is the guy who has impregnated Hester Prynne while the husband Chillingworth is out in the woods. And he's also the minister. And so he holds the entire town's morality in his hands. And this is, you know, it's a Puritan colony. It's barely surviving. It's barely beating back the forest and barely navigating its relationship with the indigenous population. And Dimmesdale is consumed with what he's done. And there's this wonderful paragraph where he talks about how much he hates being the leader, and he hates having all the responsibility, and he hates being in this new world, and it's the list of grievances, but the great line is, and more than anything above all else, he loathed his miserable self. And I always think of Kanye West with that line, you know, that because Dimmesdale is brilliant and beautiful and empowered and spiritual, and he has raised this colony from fear to epiphany, to transcendence. And the love he has with Hester is real. And throughout the whole text, you know, Hawthorne imbues it with a sense of natural beauty, and nature has no problem with it. And it's just the laws of man. And if they could just let go of the fake structures that they've placed on themselves, and they just can't. They destroy themselves because they can't kick the box they constructed around themselves apart. And I feel that way about Kanye West, that he's this sensitive kid who makes this brilliant record and then finds himself in a world of wolves and turns himself into the wolf. And then the wolf takes over the who he was, and then he loses the people in his life he trusted to pull him up short when he's lost his way, and he loses his artistic thread. Now he's lost the thread entirely. And I, like you, Ben, like, I hope it doesn't cost him his life to realize he can take the wolf costume off and go back to being something else, because he has nothing left to prove, you know. So anyway, that's why I think that Kanye Dylan comparison is really apt, because Dylan's been wearing a Bob Dylan costume now for a long time, and he doesn't know how to take it off either.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that, man.
Yeah. That's good stuff. But you guys think that were Kanye West a janitor, his mental health would still be his downfall?
It would be mixed, but he's under such a crucible of pressure, and a lot of it he's placed on himself. You know what I mean? Like,
when
he talks about, I miss the old Kanye, it's like the set on the goals Kanye. You know, like, we see this repeatedly. We saw this with Radiohead and multiple other bands. The way up is a lot easier than staying on the top, let alone the way down. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, this is the first Kanye song I've selected that wasn't a hit. And there wasn't really a hit from this record, even though, like, this record's a banger. There's like seven good songs. There's a couple of bad songs on this record too, but there's five or six really, really good songs on it. But basically he's like past his peak. And I'm sure that more probably than anything else was eating him up too. You know,
well, Tim Plaine listens to Kanye. We've got to do this for next week. I will go and listen. It's called Pablo Honey.
Life of Pablo. Pablo Honey is the first Radiohead record.
But you know what?
You'll be like, that was weird. It really didn't sound much like him.
It didn't sound like him at all.
You know what's so funny, though? Hip-hop has such a sharp peak like you can't stay on top in hip hop because they're trying to knock you off. Like you can stay on top in rock and rock music, and it's much easier.
Oh, dude, I mean, his hip hop peak is a long time. It's a long
time. Oh, I know. Longer than almost anybody else in the genre. But I just think it's like a sharp edge. Like, you know how it is. Comedians, soul music, rap music. Like, when it's not riding the zeitgeist, it's getting run over by it in a way that, it, like, a new Bob Dylan record just isn't. It's like, yeah, that sounds familiar. You know? It's just an interesting part of that. It's just an interesting nature of the art.
Well, all right, Jimmy. This has been an awesome podcast, y'all. Thanks so much, listeners. We'll see you next week.
Wait, no selection for you?
I got to follow that? Come on. You guys are killing
You've
me.
You've been on fire. Enough with the sandbagging. Enough with the sandbagging. Dude. I tweeted this week that a listener picked top 10 of Timmy's picks at this point would be in the running for the best of the top 10s.
I hope you're sitting down because I haven't felt this way since 1982. And you know what happened on that podcast. Jeff Simons, there's an outside chance that Ben hasn't heard this song. Ben, you're not allowed to Google or anything.
Okay.
But my pick for the best song of 2016 is a song called Me and Magdalena. Jeff, do you know that song? Don't say the artist, please.
I do. I do know the song.
Ben, do you know the song?
Because I know who wrote it. I'm interested in who wrote it.
Right. Me too. Ben, are you sitting?
That sounds super familiar to me. I'm going to have to wait and listen.
Me and Magdalena by the Monkees.
There's a scene in Lincoln where on the Democrat side, they're all supposed to strike down the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. And this one guy goes against everyone and they yell at him. And he's like, I don't care. I don't care. I'll go to hell. So that's my backing for this particular pick. Because I think it's a really pretty song. And it's chill. And I know you guys like slow songs that actually go somewhere or do something different. But the guy who writes this song does not do that. He just kind of stays on his little mellow island. But it's also got this great, great line. Everything lost will be recovered. Oh, say more. I want to hear more of that in 2016. Any guesses, Ben Barton, on who the artist is?
I have no guesses. Based on what you said, maybe Jack Johnson? I have no idea.
It's 50 years of music with 50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys. And in 2016, as you picked Kanye West and Jeff picked White Denim, I picked the Monkees.
Oh, that's what that is?
Yeah, they got together and did a little. They did.
What are you thinking?
They did a little album. And your boy was the producer for the album, Ben Barton.
Rick Rubin?
Adam Schlesinger.
He's my guy.
Fountains of Wayne, right?
He is not my guy.
Yeah.
That is not my
guy.
I'm
pretty sure you like
him. So when I said I knew who the artist was and why, this is a very weird record. The Monkees made a reunion record and they hired guys to try to make it good. Half the songs were actually written by Andy Partridge from XTC.
Woo!
And those songs are actually upbeat and go somewhere. You like this song because it's a rough draft of California Stars. That's all it is. Put that song back on and sing. I'd like to rest my weary head. It's the same song, same chord progressions. But I don't have any problem with this, but it's pretty sloppily recorded. I mean, it's like unacceptably bad acoustic guitar part in the background. And like in 2016, if you're the Monkees, like hire a guy who could play a G chord.
Well, they've got, Rivers Cuomo on the album. They've got Peter Tork.
Timmy, this is indeed a pretty bad selection. The thing that's funny is that I thought it was relatively harmless. I was like, well, I don't like this. It's boring, but at least it's harmless. But now I realize that it, in fact, is quite harmful. I had an actual argument with Georgia. One of the things that's super funny is Georgia's got the G-Po listen list. She's got a notes thing on her app where she just writes down songs that she wants to listen to.
Yeah,
and then I'm in charge of creating this dumb Spotify list. And then we listen to it while we do yoga. It's a really fun project. And among her things, one of the things that's really funny is that she'll have classic rock songs that I don't like.
Yeah.
And she'll have 80 songs that I don't like.
Yeah.
That is and so awesome. She went through like a little Monkees phase. And she was like, I don't understand why you wouldn't like the Monkees. And I was like, they're fake. Everything about them is fake and they suck. The songs suck. I was like, I don't even like Jeff knows. Like I'll take it from the Beatles, but I'm not gonna take it from the faux Beatles written by Tin Pan Alley and then sold from these clowns. And then to haul them back out of the freaking crypt in 2016 to trot them out and then choose them as your song in 2016. How dare you, good sir? I was waiting whenever the last Tom Petty record came out. I was expecting Jeff to be like, well, that's my song for the year. But I was not expecting this from you. This hurts my feelings.
This is written by Ben Gibbard. Jeff, who's Ben Gibbard?
Is he Death Cab for Cutie?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
It's a Death Cab for Cutie song, but sold by a 70-year-old former TV star.
Yeah, I don't know, dude.
That hurts my feelings for Ben Gibbard. There's a couple of good Death Cab songs, but the fact that he's like, I don't know, I got some like crappy material around. Hopefully the Monkees will buy it. That's not a good look at all.
It's like we talked about those super groups bringing their B material, and then there's the C material.
There's the fake, fake super group that you back up the truck to and just you just roll it out into the driveway.
No, and also those guys are still super rich. So I'm really warming to this idea. Ben Gibbard's at the dinner table with his family, and he's like, basically that Death Cab stuff, it really hasn't been going as well as you'd hope. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, honey. And he's like, but I got some amazing I got some of that Monkees cheese on the line. I'm just going to reel it in, baby. And they're like, you're kidding me. He's like, no, I swear.
They're getting back together.
This guy's super confused. Like the last time he knew anything about music was 2002. He thinks I'm like a massive gargantuan hit maker. And they're like, no way. And he's like, oh yeah, that's the situation.
Do you remember the Monkees toured, Ben, when we were like 17, 18, 19? They did a 20th anniversary tour and like tried to sell it. And Rolling Stone unashamedly just jumped on the Monkee wagon. Like, this show is remarkably fresh.
Oh yeah,
like,
right.
That's amazing. I have no memory of that except that I'm sure I hated it.
Oh, I'm sure it was one of those Jones Beach shows that you looked at that schedule and you're like, you have got to be kidding me. Did I get hit with is it 1968?
I am 90% sure I went to one of those. All right, guys. Great time tonight.
Timmy, I like the throwback. That was a good one. That really was.
I appreciate it. I think he threw it on purpose to get us psyched again. Like, he's been pretty much punching like you know, year for year for about 7 years in a row now.
That was a top five song for that year. That was a great one.
I
think he threw this around so that you and I could feel good about ourselves as music experts again. That was nice.
And he had all my friends too. He was banging it. This one was total chum in the water though, for sure.
Me and
by the way, it was really smart of you. It was really smart of you not to tell me ahead of time what it was because I gave it a much more careful listen.
I need to support Tim. I will listen to this. Yeah, if I had said monkeys, it would have been.
Oh, dude.
All right, guys. Great work.
That was awesome.
See you next week.
Fellas.
Bye. Take care, friends.
Hey, if you're having as much fun as we are, leave us a review on iTunes. Give us a rating on Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to podcasts, give us a shout. And then check us out on Twitter or at our Facebook page, 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys.
Hey there, fabulous souls. I'm Stephanie Bachlaan.
And I'm Eden Oppert.
And we're the hosts of the brand new podcast, Unapologetically Fab.
Get ready to join us on an amazing and real journey as we dive into life after 40 and own it.
We're all about changing the narrative, leaning into who you are, and living a life by your own design.
Join us as we embrace life unapologetically and redefine success.
This is Unapologetically Fab,
an Electric Cat production.
See you there.
Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonise your mind, body and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together we explore vibrations, frequencies and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.
Electric Acid.